Is it The Real Housewives for the big screen? This week we talk about the Queen of Versailles. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yasd as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So good evening again, both.
Hello.
Our second podcast back to back.
Yes.
Oh, before we forget, we saw two fabulous movies in the back of a plane on the way back from Tokyo.
Yes.
I saw the delightful animation Letter to Momo. It's gotten a lot of acclaim, I think, in Japan, done very well over there, but just a beautiful, beautiful movie in the style of a Studio Ghibli mm-hmm. film, but it wasn't a Ghibli film, but very, very obviously Miyazaki inspired. And Yasd, and Rashmi, you saw?
Rent-a-Nico, otherwise known as Rent-a-Cat, which is one of the most adorable, beautiful films ever. And yes, I promise when you see this one, you will want to not only hug it.
No, it's live action.
You will want to put it in your bedroom and never ever leave it alone.
I don't know. I have my doubts right again.
I know. It sounds absolutely nonsense. In fact, what we should do is post a link to the trailer on the blog so that people can at least see the movie. But what a delightful, delightful movie.
So
is
cute.
It German?
Japanese. Mm.
Rent-a-Nico.
Okay.
Is what the and Nico is the word for
it. Actually did really well at the Sundance Film Festival this year, so it's doing its festival rounds.
Oh, so it's not released yet.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's released in Japan,
and it was available on the back of an airplane. But it was directed by somebody who graduated from USC Film School of all places, so there is a California link. Naoko Ogigami. I'm not sure if you know of her, but she's evidently got a couple of films to her credit, and this is just done very well in Japan. A lot of film festival buzz, but Rent a Cat or Rent a Nico. Do catch that one if you can. We should post a link on the website just for people to see.
I'll do a little write up.
Will do.
All right. Well, let's talk about our one movie for this show, The Queen of Versailles. Rashmi, you want to tell us all about The Queen of Versailles?
So directed by Lauren Greenfield, The Queen of Versailles is a character-driven documentary about a billionaire family headed by David and Jackie Siegel and their financial challenges in the wake of the economic crisis. Who thought the 1% could be affected, right? With epic proportions of Shakespearean tragedy, the film follows two unique characters whose rags-to-riches success stories reveal the innate virtues and flaws of the American dream. The film begins with the family triumphantly constructing the biggest house in America, a 90,000 square foot palace. Over the next 2 years, their sprawling empire, fueled by the real estate bubble and cheap money, falters due to the economic crisis. Major changes in lifestyle and character ensue within the cross-cultural household of family members and domestic staff. By the way, David Siegel actually made his fortune by selling timeshares and heading up the Westgate Resorts. So, how sparkly was this one for you, Yasd?
So the movie starts off like a particularly indulgent episode of a bad reality television show, the ultimate Real Housewife of America. And then as the film progresses right in front of your eyes, it takes on as its ambition nothing less than a commentary on how we live today. I found this movie endlessly fascinating. I can't recommend it enough. I think it's one of the better documentaries of the year.
Joe?
You know, I echo all of that. I think as I sat down to watch this, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be Real Housewives on the big screen. And anyone that knows me, anyone that speaks to me more than 5 minutes will know my impatience, seething, loathing, hate for anything Real Housewives related. The movie is a great example, I think, of serendipitous filmmaking. I think the director set out to make something completely different, and that was the construction of the largest house in America. And what she caught on camera with this family is beyond belief. The story that is told in this documentary is absolutely, it's a shock in every which way, and absolutely recommended.
Me three. Good documentaries are often those where it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, but how interesting the relationships are between the people in it. You will not be disappointed. I never thought I could feel as sorry as I did for a billionaire, but this film was so powerful at creating that feeling. I really, really loved this documentary. I agree with Yazzie. I think it's one of the best ones of this year.
I think this is a documentary for people who don't like documentaries. I think, honestly, I think it just plays better than most fiction. And I think you're right. I mean, it's like lightning in a bottle. They just happen to be at the time when this whole thing unfolded. And,
right.
And you know, like the best films, the experience of a few represents the whole universe. In this case, certainly, the financial fortunes of America as a whole. So I think the subject matter, the title even shouldn't dissuade people from reaching out.
I mean, it clearly falls into the category of you can't make this stuff up, which is what I think is most powerful to me about the movie.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of documentary making, yes, I think you're right. It's a good one for people who don't necessarily like documentaries because it has the right amount of humor, fact, and opinion. But the way that this director very cleverly catches the essence of this family and the dysfunction of this family is just spectacular. And it's almost at their expense, but without them knowing it.
I mean, I think it's clearly at their expense. There are several scenes in the movie, just to let everyone know. We saw this movie at the LA Film Festival a couple of months ago, and so we were lucky enough to get a chance to interact with Lauren Green, who shot this movie. And I forget the name of her other movie that she did.
Thin, I think it's called.
Yeah, which I think was very well received. It's not one that I've seen. So clearly there's some skill going on here. It's not just serendipitous, but it's the fact that she is able to really portray this family in a way that, yes, we laugh at them, but we also somehow feel sorry for them. And there's kind of a humanity that comes through in the people here. You empathize with everything that's going on around them, despite their self-destructive behaviors. And I think that's one of the things that makes the movie so powerful. In a way, we start to understand what it's like to be them and empathize
and not want
with them.
To be with, not want to be them.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree at the risk of repeating what you said. I mean, we begin kind of awed, you know, shaking our heads in disapproval at the sheer excess of the indulgences of this family, you know, bigger, better, larger, gone insane. And we, you know, and then as the story plays out, we can't help but, you know, indulge in some Schadenfreude, you know, pleasure in the misery of others.
Yeah.
To see these emperors of excess, you know, fall and crumble under, you know, the debris of their own ambitions gone awry. And I think, you know, A.O. Scott in the New York Times said it best in the closing sentences of his film review, where he said, you know, marvel at the ornate frame, mock at the vulgarity of the images if you want, but let's not kid ourselves. If this film is a portrait, it is also a mirror.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
It's brilliant. I mean, it really, I mean, we can kind of distance ourselves from this family and say, oh, I'm so different from them. Or we can say, you know, they're crazy or they're stupid or they're excessive. But the arc of their story represents the arc of all of America in the last 5 years. And yep. I think that's where the movie gains a lot of strength, in that it easily rises to just being a representation of everything that's happened to the country financially in the last 5 years. And, you know, you can mock at, you know, how before the financial collapse, you know, everybody was overdoing things. People were buying things that they didn't have the money to buy. And you know, and it kind of becomes a representation of all of those things. But, you know, once you get past that, it also represents the resilience of the American people after the financial crisis. You know, as much as you want to mock and laugh at these people, you also kind of admire their ability to just, you know, wrap up their sleeves and say, okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah, but I think more than that, once you kind of strip away the excesses, the physical, material, you know, things that you can physically see, what really got me was the emotion underneath these relationships and the vulnerability of each of these people, which you don't automatically see, and how insecure they really are and what makes them happy and what makes one happy and what people strive for and how people maintain a family unit. Like, all of those elements of life today are there as well. And that, I think, is quite a clever thing to do. And it's interesting to see how they justify themselves in a sense. You know, it was interesting to see the thought process of, well, you know, I almost deserve this. You know, I deserve to be helped because I'm creating an economy. This guy, you know, David Siegel, who ran Westgate Resorts. I mean, it's interesting just to, as an anthropological study of his mindset, that's what I was most fascinated by, his sense of entitlement. And right up until the end, when everything is falling down around him, just that insane drive to still continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think the strength of this work is that it works at several levels, right? I mean, it works purely as a study of a family under crisis, right? Just at a personal level. And these are great characters. I mean, you can't make these people up. David Siegel is right. Very fascinating because, you know, till the last minute, he's looking for, you know, if I can just get these extra $1 million, you know, I'll bring it all back together. And, you know, his wife has gone from shopping at Versace to shopping at Walmart. And, you know, she's, I mean, her whole, you know, reconciliation to what's going around her. I mean, that's fascinating. So as people, as objects, to put the, you know, scrutiny on, I think it works at that level. It also works at a social level because it tells you about, you know, a social commentary on America. It works as a financial representation. So I think it's just working on multiple levels. And there's not a minute of it that is boring or dry.
Right.
You know, I think the director is definitely judging them, but not yes. necessarily in a bad way, you know?
I mean, I think she had a relationship with them, which mm-hmm. came across. I mean, she didn't want to lampoon them. But at the same time, I think she wanted to show the world, you know, who these people were. And, I mean, she doesn't pull any punches in terms of showing some of their stupidity. I mean, there is some ridiculous behaviors at play here, some compulsive, obsessive nature to the way that they acquire all this stuff. The way that they feed their egos with these, you know, enormous purchases and, you know,
parties.
These were people who were trying to build the largest house in America, quote unquote, because he could. You know, that was the reason he said so.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the best documentaries I've seen this year. Some really good documentaries.
Yes. Definitely.
Do you think this is Oscar fodder?
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I walked out of this one thinking, the thing is going to be. It's going to be up there on the list of well-made movies because it's intelligent as well as entertaining and educating.
And it's about the financial crisis. So I think it's going to, yeah, absolutely.
I'd be very surprised if, I mean, the Academy has very weird rules about the documentary category, but all that aside, I'd be very surprised if it didn't make the list. I mean, and just because it's so successful at every level. It's just a very successful documentary.
Yeah.
You can't say that about most documentaries.
Yeah.
Right.
Frankly, though, I didn't see one bad one.
At the film festival?
At the film festival. I mean, we saw a lot.
You saw Invisible War?
Words of Witness. Queen of Versailles.
But not necessarily all of them are entertaining.
No, agreed.
Not necessarily all of them are fun.
Agreed.
Or, you know, so I think it just hits all the checkboxes.
It does.
You know, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's fun, it represents...
It has a point of view.
It has a point of view. So I think it's just, it gets...
In many ways, it felt like something that Morgan Spurlock would have put together, like a Super Size Me, in that it was educational, entertaining, it had a point of view, but it was also... It was very human, mm-hmm. just very, very human. That's the word that it keeps coming back to me. I look at these people and I want to laugh at them and I want to hate them. And I have all these conflicting emotions and the movie doesn't allow me to like have my prejudged point of view.
Well, it leads you down the path. It almost wants you to believe that in its first half. It takes you down, it holds your hand and says, come with me and ushers you into this false sense of security. And then it like kapows you and says, hey, hang on. Not what you thought. Surprise. Just sorry, Yasmin, I know you're going to say something. You said something interesting. It's like a Morgan Spurlock documentary. And I was thinking about the fact that, yes, it's as entertaining as a Morgan Spurlock.
And I think that's the only parallel I was drawing.
I think it has more weight. It has more heft.
Yeah.
It feels like it's richer in content than a Morgan Spurlock documentary would be.
Very fair point.
I think it really gets at these people. You get a sense of... Maybe it's manipulating you, but I got a sense of I know who these people are somewhat, which usually I don't get from other Morgan Spurlock movies, other documentaries necessarily. Yeah. And it's a big family. It's a big sprawling family.
Yeah. I wanted to
I take back the Morgan Spurlock comment.
I was just going to say, I mean, the feeling, I said in my intro that, you know, it created this feeling. I wanted to slap and hug Jackie Siegel in equal amounts. I mean, it's a very clever director who's able to give you that sense of someone where you want to hug and slap them all at once.
But I think that's where its genius is, because at different times I absolutely hated her. She represents at the start the worst of America,
the worst and Real Housewife,
the worst
ever.
She's so plastic and fake, and you know she's so obsessed with material stuff, and she represents the worst of America. But after this whole thing, she also represented for me the best of America. I mean, she adapted. I mean, maybe not to the best.
I wouldn't go that far, but I know what you're saying.
She was shopping at Walmart. I mean, I think that's a big, big adaptation. But yeah, I think
she was buying like $1 million worth of unnecessary trinkets for the house on credit.
Right. But I think the movie,
I know what you're saying.
Movie stops you from letting you judge those people as being one-dimensional. It shows you insight into them and, you know, how they react to a bad situation. And I think Jackie comes off way better than her husband does in that regard.
I mean, right. Let's not forget that he's actually suing the filmmakers. He's actually suing Sundance because he feels that, you know, obviously Sundance financed this movie, and he feels that Westgate Resorts, which is his business that made him billions, has been poorly portrayed.
Well, I mean, knowing what we know of him from the movie, one has to just wonder if this is just another ploy to get that last $1 million with which he's going to restore his fortune. Because, I mean, really, I think he allowed all access here. He's a very smart man. There's no way he could not have been conscious of what was unfolding in front of him. And he allowed the cameras to keep rolling. So, you know, the lawsuit's an interesting move from my perspective. And I think it's probably motivated financially than because he really feels wronged.
Just to go, the Siegels are now suing Greenfield and others tied to the film for defamation. And basically what he's saying is that he says the scenes are totally manipulated, staged, and the suit's not to gain monetarily. The suit is so that people would know that it's not the truth.
Well, if he gives any winnings or proceedings to charity, I'll believe him. But until he offers to do that, then I find it very hard to believe.
I mean, there's this whole other debate about no documentary is really truly a documentary, because by virtue of somebody filming you, your behavior is not natural. So, you know, how much of this is staged, how much of this... I mean, that's true for any documentary. And let's face it, I mean, his whole business was built on timeshares, and the whole point of these timeshares was giving people subprime mortgages, you know, giving people, you know, the ability to buy these timeshares when they clearly didn't have the credit to do it. And then, of course, that's why it's such a great representation of the financial collapse, because they were right at the center of it.
Yeah. And that was a very interesting, the financial aspects of the business.
Right.
That was a very interesting part of the movie. Yeah. So obviously we all love this one. So let's score. So Joe, go first.
Just a very surprisingly entertaining, I mean, we've said it all so far here. I think this is a must see. I can't think of anyone that wouldn't be entertained by this movie. I think it's just a fabulous way to spend an hour and a half. And really, like you say, Yazdi, it makes us all uncomfortable in many ways, because, you know, you wonder what you would be like in the kind of situation that they were in and the resources that they had. And you hope to God you're nothing like that. But, you know, what makes us most uncomfortable is perhaps we're all just a little bit like they are in the end. So I'm going to give this movie an 8 out of 10, slightly stingy, maybe a 9, but go see this. Go see this.
Yes, Dee.
Yeah, I have nothing further to add to what Joe said. I mean, this is unquestionably, undeniably entertaining, and that's all you need to know. I mean, this is a movie you might want to go out and watch in the cinemas. Forget that it's a documentary. Don't be turned off by the title. I've mentioned the title to a lot of people, and they're like, I don't want to see a movie called about the Queen of Versailles. You know, they think it's some period drama about the French. Yeah. And so don't let the title dissuade you. Don't let the fact that it's a documentary dissuade you. It's probably one of the most entertaining movies I've seen this year. I literally have on my notes the exact same words. It's an absolute must-see. and I'm struggling between an 8 and a 9, I'll give it an 8 right now. And maybe towards the end of the year, if I feel as strongly as I do, I may change that to a 9.
Yeah, I was going to say, you will not feel bad for not having the life these people lead. Queen of Versailles, a great narrative of how the economy impacted not just the 99%, but the 0.1%, those who could build a 90,000 square foot house. This is great viewing. This is a really good documentary. I love this. Oh, my score is 8 out of 10.
Okay, unanimous 8 all around. Yeah, no, it just caught me off guard. I mean, for all the reasons, Yazdi, that you said that one might be put off, when we went in to see this, I was really not that excited. But what a terrific film. And I hope it gets more traction, because I think the opening has been limited so far.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, it really plays like a Greek tragedy in many ways. Yeah. These are such larger than life, and the rags to riches, and there's so much drama here.
It's riches to rags.
Riches to rags.
Well, no, it's rags to riches to rags.
And yeah.
Let's not forget that this guy created a fortune from nothing. He's self-made. Yeah. So, like many of the people that we kind of scoff at, there's no inherited wealth here. He worked for it, and he was smart, and he did the right thing. But
yeah, I mean, watch this movie, and I promise you that you can talk about it for hours.
Yeah.
It's just the best fodder for discussion. So, yeah, do yourself a favor. Go see this one.
Let us know what you think of The Queen of Versailles. Mail at moviewallahs.com, twitter.com/moviewallahs, and facebook.com/moviewallahs as well. Lots of upcoming movies to talk about, so should have an episode out for you in the not-too-distant future. Until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.